You didn't even pack your packs yet.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode was recorded on March 23rd, 2026, with Joe McAdam. Joe McAdam has been on the show multiple times. I love Joe. Joe and I really, I think, became friends due to the live show. Speaking of the live show, it's finally returning on Thursday, May 21st, 2026, at the Hungry Brain in Chicago, Illinois. Go to youmethemeverybody.com for more information. Here is Joe.
How was your show?
Had a blast. What a fun time.
Man, I'm so happy you're still doing that.
It was fun. It's one of those things where it's like it creeped up on me that I have to do it again. And then it's like, all right, figure it out.
Why do you have to do it?
Because I said the first one was the first annual.
So?
So then you can't just stop. That'd be some sort of breach of contract, like a social contract.
Would you have, if you didn't have annual in the first one, would you have done it this last weekend?
Yes, I think so. I think the annual thing, it doesn't really matter. Once you get to three, I think then that's when it really matters.
Okay, so this was year two, correct?
Yes, this is the second annual. And I think if I hit third annual, I think then it's like it can't go away.
Okay.
But I think I would have done it anyway just for fun this year. And then in like 2-3 years, it will become a real, joyless chore.
Yeah, it's, I'm not there. I haven't seen either of you. Like, but I'm not even living by proxy because I don't even know really what it is other than clips. Do you want to talk about it or no?
I it's just like, you know, so there's a thing called the Academy Awards. And so this is like that a little bit. I try my best to just make it like look like and have all the trademark signatures of an award show, but like a really, really low budget version of it, you know. And then it's, yeah, that's basically it.
Oh, it's so stupid
fun. It's, we have I didn't even, you know, like I don't even have like little trophies or anything. It's, there's nothing, because who would get it? I don't, because it's all for like ideas. I don't know, there's not going to be, who am I going to hand, there's not acceptance speeches or anything like that.
Have you considered inviting one award winner? I know a lot of the awards are to ideas and things and not people, but have you thought about having someone accept on behalf of someone to that effect?
I considered it, and it would have to be exactly the right thing.
Okay.
There, like the first year of it, it was like a friend of mine is like a friend with an actor who I like, but I don't know them personally, you know?
Sure.
And I was like, oh, I liked a movie that they were in, and it would be kind of funny to give one like actual real actor a real award. But I was also just like, I don't know them, and I don't know if they get it, and I don't want to like ask a favor for a thing that they think is stupid or whatever, you know. So it would have to be somebody that I know, and I know their sense of humor, and I like them and stuff like that.
But if I didn't ask people for favors that I assume that they would think were stupid, I wouldn't be anywhere in life.
I know, that's absolutely true. You just got to put yourself out there. I thought maybe like, oh, is it going to be like a bad, not like it wouldn't be great for the vibe of the show, you know? Is it going to derail things a little bit? I wasn't sure. And I think at this point, now that I've done it a couple times, I could maybe take a bigger swing with something like that. But I wasn't ready for it then. I didn't know if it was going to hold together enough.
I'm just, it's so good. Was it a full room? It seemed like it was a full room.
I don't know the head count. I think the room holds like 80. I think we probably did about 60.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Nice. Also, now that we have Academy Awards, where is it? A night of stars. Can I say that tagline again, please?
The people are out tonight.
The people are out tonight. Thank you. It's got a lot of weight. What are you working on now?
Nothing. I'm just sitting around. No, I got stuff. I got things. I got to go return all the equipment that I rented to set up a step and repeat backdrop for the show.
Oh,
I
got
to go return that. That's my today's to-dos.
Should we set up a GoFundMe for next year's step and repeat?
Dude, I funded this year by blackjack gambling. I made $1,200 gambling on nice. Online blackjack, and that. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm hiring a photographer. I'm getting a custom made like you know, photo print thing, and so we booked a place for an after party. We were doing the full Academy Awards experience. So it might be a step down next year because it really is entirely dependent on how flush with money I am at the time.
If you do win next year, and would you consider having a sponsor on your backdrop? Like this,
I mean,
this year's backdrop brought to you by Black Duck, or something to that effect.
If I found the correct kind of place to do that, I would maybe consider it. It would have to be a uniquely you know, have a unique chemistry with what the show is. But because we do like there's a bit in the show that I do like a sponsor for. It's like a real company, but they're definitely not a real sponsor kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's always like this so far. It's been like a sex club and then a really filthy strip club have been the two nice. Places so far. So I think it has to like fit the vibe of like seedy, but also with a sense of humor about themselves.
Have you reached out to any of these places?
No, first of all, the sex club is out of business. They've gone out of business. I don't know how that happened, but they're gone. And so, yeah, no, I've not reached out to them mostly because I don't prepare enough in advance.
I see. You don't have a but sponsors meeting?
Yeah, I'm not on top of things. And also, like, I don't know how much, you know, what are they, these companies don't seem like they're doing great. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much they have to spare.
That's a tax write-off.
Sure, I guess so, you know, assuming that they,
right?
Yeah. I'm sure they're up on how to do that correctly. They know what they're doing.
Sex clubs are good at taxes.
Yeah, that's like their whole thing is that they love being on the books.
How do you feel right now about your Chiefs?
I'm feeling positive. I feel like there was a very good free agency period. I feel I'm genuinely psyched that they signed Justin Fields. I've been the world's last Justin Fields defender, I think. I think he's a fun addition to the team. We'll see how it goes.
They got rid of Nagy, is that correct?
Yes, that's my biggest plus. That's the biggest addition by subtraction this year.
That's great. I'm happy for you.
Oh, yeah. I know everybody from Chicago who hates Matt Nagy's guts, too.
I do.
Yeah, no, he's a hated figure. I you know, like he seems
not fun.
Yeah, like I don't know what his we just didn't he wasn't nothing good was happening. So like what are we doing? Yeah, so he's got to go.
How's your police state going? I think it's probably different than my police state.
Different tone maybe. I think we're more of like a, you know, a California mellow police state right now.
It's nice.
I mean, it's still active and things are still happening. I'm keeping up with as much as my soul will bear, but it's, you know, you see, you're just like, oh, you see a car, like I've, the little things that I've noticed are that it's made me paranoid in ways that I'm like, oh, okay. Like someone had like a glop of mud on their license plate to kind of obscure their license plate number. And I'm like, that's probably ICE. You know, like it's made me a little more paranoid about stuff.
That's not good, but you're probably right.
And no, I think I'm almost certainly right. But also it's the thing about like where a certain type of dude just kind of looks like an ICE agent anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that now we're just like, which came first, the chicken or the egg kind of thing. And it's like, I know I wasn't going to like vibe with this guy anyway, but yeah, no, it's, you know, they're out there and it's every day is, hell.
Yeah. Does it make you want to get back into smoking cigarettes?
I've thought about it.
Pretty cool.
I'm good. I think I'm good. It hits me every once in a while, and then I'm like, yeah, they're not even that great. They're fun every once in a while, but they're not going to make me feel that much better.
No, they're not supposed to make you feel better. They're supposed to make you look cool.
That's a fact. But hey, I think we're past the point. Like, there's, you know what I mean? There's a certain
Of
point where you're
course.
just like, yeah, you see like an 80-year-old guy smoking. Do you think he's cool? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, hell yeah. He
It
beat one
depends on the
medicine.
guy.
He won.
If you're 80 and you're smoking cigarettes, I think it does feel like a bit of a triumph.
Yeah.
It's a victory lap.
Yeah, so why not? I mean, the dying part,
The
obviously.
death. It's the death. That's what gets you.
That is the ultimate getting you.
Yeah, that's how they get you. Death.
I got a baseball book swap on Wednesday.
All right, so it's exclusively baseball books.
Now, I'm going to bring a few other sports related books, but it's like 95% baseball books.
Is it like Matt Christopher books?
A good pull, by the way. No, there's only one or two kids' books,
Okay.
and the rest are not. And I've read about a quarter of them, and then a bunch I all year long I go to like little free libraries and book sales and get baseball books for this one yearly event.
So what are we working with? Like, biographies and stuff like that?
Exactly. Most all of them are like about a season or a player, and it's
Okay.
exactly what you'd expect. There's always Moneyball. There's always like 10 books about the Yankees, 10 books about the
Sure.
Dodgers. You know how it is. You
Yeah, no,
know.
they get a lot of the press. They get a lot of action.
It's really fun, and this year I'm bringing a bunch of baseball cards.
Oh, that's great. That's a nice little extra, a little extra flavor for the event. I like that.
Yeah. I gotta make 30 to 50-year-old white men with beards a little happier.
That's really it's a very sweet project to make those guys happy. You
This
know,
is
because
preventing a mass casualty.
I mean, like, in a way, that's in no way a joke.
I know, I know. I'm not joking either.
It is not, because there, it, like, listen, you're not gonna find me being the mass shooting defender man. But
Is that
like,
going to be a
there,
category at next year's Miss Academy
we'll see how this next year goes. The most sympathetic mass shooter. But like, there really is a like, in the larger public discourse, like, why would I ever be, whatever, think about this guy? Fuck him. And it's like, that makes sense as an idea. Fuck this guy. But not the shooter, but just like a, old white guy in general. You know,
Yeah.
like that's an understanding, understandable point of view. But then, on an individual level, that guy's like, oh. Like, in a large scale level, it makes sense, but on an individual level, the guy's like, oh, I thought maybe someone would care about me.
That's what this fucking baseball book swap's for.
Yeah, so you just need a little baseball book for that guy every once in a while.
And
It's
have
not
some
a lot.
cards. You
Yeah,
can
give
use your
him,
card as a bookmark.
yeah, like you get a little Ricky Henderson card in there, and yeah,
If you
he's
think I'm
feeling
giving
better.
away my Ricky Henderson
Yeah,
cards, you're out of your
there's no
goddamn
way.
mind.
No, we're looking more in the ballpark of like who's in his. I can only pull like obscure, like not special Royals. Like, is it a
Leo
Ken
Durham.
Harvey
You can have,
card?
yeah, Ken
Yeah.
Harvey's works. Yeah. Yeah, I'm loving this. I think I told you I got like crazy back into cards now.
Oh yeah.
And now I'm on wave four, which is now just buying cards in bulk on Groupon.
And you're just like. When we talk about the amount of cards, is it like, do you talk about it in terms of like size of like in volume or like weight or like number of cards? How do you keep track of
Number
these?
of cards for this one. Okay, so like let's go through it really quick. I was dabbling about a year ago on Amazon about like, oh, I'll spend 100 cards for $10. Here's like five packs from the early 90s, right? So that was the first wave. Second wave was I'm gonna buy all the stuff I wanted when I was a kid, and now I could buy this like giant box of Leaf 1990s, $30 on open, right? So I was doing that. And then it was like, now I want the current my current favorites, but I want to
Sure.
pull it. I want to buy individuals, right? So that was the most fun, and I it was a learning lesson. And now I'm on the But I go on Depop and buy things in bulk, and it's the best.
So what number of cards are we talking now?
Today I'm getting about 3,000 cards.
Jesus.
But it was $30.
So you can't say no.
It's stupid not to.
Yeah, you'd be stupid to say to not do this.
So these are all cards by the guys that are buying the current stuff.
Okay.
And they're buying boxes and they're only looking for like one or two cards.
So you're getting a lot of chaff. It's a lot
No, I'm getting a lot of really good stuff, but nothing that costs like $1,000. These are the guys that are pulling packs and like ripping open, like, we just want a rookie of Caleb Williams that's $2,000, right? So they're getting rid of everything else.
Oh, wow. So these are hyper focused.
So like, so for like you, whenever I see you next, I have like a ton of Chiefs and Royals cards for you. And they're like all good players.
That's pretty sick.
But they're just not rookies. That's the thing.
Sure.
You know, that's like, I got a bunch of Mahomes from this guy because he doesn't care.
Yeah. No, he's not a fan.
Individually, these Mahomes are selling for like $10 to $30 if you're willing to listen for that. But to him, it's not worth it. But to me, I'm like, I don't care. That's great.
So yeah, that's awesome. That's very.
So this is, I found the sweet spot. Cause like, I'm never going to go into this of like, oh, I'm going to flip this and buy a house. No, I just want the Chicago players. And then I asked this sounds a little creepy. I asked my kids' friends what teams they like. And then I asked their parents, hey, can I give them a bunch of cards?
Yeah.
So I give this I gave these twins like 100 Pittsburgh Pirates cards.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
And they're twins, so I had to make sure that they were double. So the exact same 50 cards going to both of them.
Oh, it's a little project. Yeah, you have to assemble the entire... Exactly. Yeah.
But
that's great.
They've never been to Pittsburgh, and I think it was the only team they could think of.
That's hilarious.
And they love it.
And you know what? Like,
cares?
That's now something that they'll remember. Yeah, that's great.
They're not Pirates fans. I've doomed these kids to be Pirates fans.
That's honestly, that's kind of cruel, but that's a very funny, like, I panicked and I said Pirates. I don't know. It's just...
So that's the cards coming today. I got them for the book swap on Wednesday. I'm going to bring all those as well.
That's perfect.
Yeah, man.
No, this is a very healthy hobby.
I got to keep telling myself that, even though it's probably not.
Well, listen, it's certainly not doing meth.
Also, I'm like, that's 3 or 4 drinks out at a bar these days, so it could be a lot
worse. No, I do kind of like rank hobbies, or like, you know, like sort them in my brain based on how much money I would have spent at a bar in my 20s.
Oh, yeah.
And go like, oh yeah, well that's fine, because that's what like a night at the bar when I was, you know, 27.
But a night at the bar at 27 costs a shitload less than a night at the bar at 43. And it's not
just by, the year it is. Yeah.
And it's not, but the cost of living has not increased. The cost of the pay hasn't increased to match the alcohol cost.
No. And even with better, more adult work, it's not that much better.
So that's why I'm like, this is even worse. This is horrible.
Well, listen, I don't think it's hurting anyone. And that's, you know, like I was having a conversation the other night with some friends, our mutual friend, James Fritz, but we were talking about like musicians that were bad guys, you know, and then how we have to now adjust what it means to be a bad guy, where it's like, oh, they were difficult in the studio or whatever. It's like nothing now. It's like, who could possibly give a shit if they were like, they were mean to a session player one time. Like, who fucking cares?
All right, so
they're not a pedophile. They're
we
fine.
We need to talk about specifics here. Who are you talking about?
Oh, we were very specifically talking about, like, do we think that the Traveling Wilburys are all good guys?
All right, so who is the bad guy?
I think there was just, like, conversation of, like, Jeff Lynne's difficult or Bob Dylan's a little bit of a grouch, you know?
You don't say.
Yeah, no shit. It's like, okay.
You mean the guy that was as important as the Beatles, but there was one of him is a little difficult?
Yeah.
And ELO is a little, he made no sounds. The guy that made new sounds?
Yeah.
You're no, supposed yeah, yeah. to be.
So, like, we're like, I don't think any of those guys are, like, villains. That's all. We're like, I think they're probably, like, of their era, like, a little bit, like, you know, little prickly, but that's about it. They all seem like otherwise they have pretty clean records, I think. It's from what I understand.
These guys have spent their entire adult lives of people trying to cipher everything off of them.
Yeah, they're a little guarded. Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that they're all just not wielding machetes is an impressive feat.
How many murders do we think we would allow Tom Petty to have done?
I would have given him at least 3 dozen.
3 dozen? I think you're going to say 3. Jesus Christ.
No way.
That's a lot of kills for TP.
I might give him 3 dozen just for his work with the Heartbreakers, not even including solo. I'll give him another 10 solo. Give me Wildflowers every day.
10 solo, and you know, like a couple more for Wilbury's stuff.
I'll give him a couple for Wilbury's. I'll give him 0 for Wilbury's. That was too much of a group effort.
You know what? Take a kill out of the solo column because of Wilbury's. Sorry.
That's how you started it out.
Yeah.
So
no, I think you're, you know, the way that we're judging, I think it used to be a little more harsh, and then now that everything's out in the open about who is actually like evil, you know, we have to readjust, recalibrate.
Speaking of evil, I was my kid still naps, thank God, and he woke up yesterday and he wanted to watch Mr. Rogers, not Daniel Tiger, but Mr. Rogers, and I was thrilled. So I put on my favorite episode. And then I was wearing my Ozzy shirt, and he said, "Who's that?" And I explained Ozzy, and he goes, "You're a good guy, bad guy." He's a good guy. And then I played him Crazy Train after I played him a bunch of Mr. Rogers stuff. And I'm like, these are the same. These are the exact same messages in all of the Mr. Rogers and Ozzy Osbourne solo stuff. It's the same. Everyone be cool with each other. War is stupid and bad. That's it.
Yeah, Ozzy was a very peaceful man. He liked to dress up, but that doesn't make you evil.
No, not at all.
I gave an award. Ozzy was nominated for an award at the Academy Awards.
What were they?
It was the category was the most revealing late period song from an artist or band, and Ozzy's Perry Mason was nominated. Where it's just like him kind of remembering the show Perry Mason. And I was like, you're the Prince of Darkness. And what are we talking about? Why are you talking about a procedural, courtroom show?
That came out when he was, what, 50? That song?
That was like 90s. Late 90s.
Yeah. Okay. So this was like height of Ozfest, I think.
Yes. It's very much the look of the video is very Ozfest.
Okay. So that's. Yeah, that's a great one. Like, I remember, like, so that's the equivalent of you and me writing a song about CSI New York right now.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It would be like if I, wrote, it's exactly that thing. And it, or it's like, even older, it'd have to be, what I watched as a kid. Like, because I'm assuming Perry Mason was like, what he loved as like a little boy. I don't know when, I guess I didn't look at the timeline that specifically.
Okay. So but that would be, like, that'd be if us, that'd be NYPD Blue for us.
Yeah. I think it's an NYPD Blue poll. Yeah.
All right. You need to redo the lyrics of Perry Mason to make it NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
Dennis Franz.
Yes. I think that's like in the video's got, Sipowicz in it. It's going to be great.
But you can't look up anything about NYPD.
No.
Blue. It has to just be from your memory.
A show that I only mostly know through reference on like The Simpsons or something. Or like
time
The Critic.
They showed Dennis Franz's butt.
Yes. Yeah, no, that was the show that always had the bumper promos that were like, tonight on NYPD Blue, someone's going to say crap. Just like, okay, cool.
Who won that award?
God, who was it? It was, it was this band called Mistral, Mistral. I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right. Okay. But they have a song called Jamie. And it's like, oh, that band's not really like famous, but they're this... it was a Dutch like project made by the guy from that started the band and wrote the song Venus by Shocking Blue.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm your Venus, I'm your fire.
Yeah.
So he broke up that band and then he started a new thing, another project called Mistral. And then they wrote this really horny song called Jamie, which was like a sci-fi concept about, and there was a music video that was people dressed up like dragonflies simulating sex.
Okay.
And it was the most like, oh, you're into watching bugs have sex. That was the the oddly revealing element of this song, which was just very obvious. But anyway, the song's pretty great. It's kind of a little like groovy bop. It's very horny. I recommend the song. It's fantastic.
That's great. Shocking yeah. Blue has two of the most unique associations to me in pop culture. Like, I can never hear Venus and not think of the lady shaving their legs commercial.
Yes, exactly.
Like, it's burned into my skull. And then obviously it's Nirvana's first single was Love Buzz.
Yes. Yeah. They wrote Love. The guy that wrote this wrote Love Buzz. Yeah.
That's two sides of a coin, man.
I know. It's pretty. Yeah. It's something special. So this guy's like a, you know, I think if he weren't Dutch, I think he might have a bigger like career back in the day. But it was kind of like, you're just kind of a big fish in a small pond kind of thing.
Yeah, man. Do you think Nirvana covers that if it's like a normal American band? I don't think so. I don't think it makes any sense.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, I think that they needed a level of, like, I sound it kind of obscurity.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, no, that's important. That's important to the story. So, I don't know. Maybe if that guy had maybe had a second career after Nirvana's cover, that would have been, you know, he moves to the States and becomes like a famous, like, behind the scenes songwriter guy. Who knows? I don't even know if the guy's alive.
We cannot look it up legally. Is it Dan Wilson from Semisonic? I think that's his name. That dude's maybe my favorite alt rock era guy that now just writes all the hits.
Yeah, no, he's great, man. He has some really cool credits though.
That second Semisonic record, I still think is their pinnacle, and it's completely overlooked, and it bums me out.
Well, it's because I was just watching a video on YouTube when you called about Harvey Danger. So we're in the same zone of like, we're like, what happened to, you know, Harvey Danger? Kind of a YouTube video is what I was watching, and it was just like, you know, they just got kind of chewed up, and I think it's a lot of it is obviously the timing of it when their first record kind of popped already after the, you know, Telecommunications Act of 96. Good luck getting the second thing going. We've moved on, and it was a transitional era. We want Creed now. We don't want like a power pop kind of like, you know.
Well, two things about that band that was good. It was the same reason why Eminem's first single clicked. It's because the references in that song, In Flagpole Sitta, are still current due to the lack of monoculture.
Yeah.
That's
helpful. Yeah, there's. It is like the last era of like, I thought that was a thing I think I put in the last year's Academy Awards was the Shania Twain, it got like really lucky that she never had to update that Don't Impress Me Much.
Yeah.
Because she mentions Brad Pitt and it's like, we haven't had, like she could have said somebody that was irrelevant in a few years, but nope, that still as relevant as ever, I guess, or as famous as ever.
That's the Eminem mentioning Nine Inch Nails and Spice Girls.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been like, I'm trying to think of like, see, okay, so the new the Sturgill Simpson record, I got that and I've been listening to it. And there's, in the first song on it, he references Hunter Biden. And I'm like, I don't know if that one's going to hold up.
No, bud. You fucked up.
I don't think referencing Joe Biden would hold up. You know what I mean? Like I don't think people are really going to remember Hunter Biden.
I don't. It might be. Maybe it does have legs. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think it does have legs.
We'll see.
You could say it helps sway an election.
It had something, but it was only I don't know. I lived in a bubble that was like, why are we talking about Hunter Biden? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
This is a very, like, who cares figure.
The Hunter Biden stuff, the stuff that actually happened is way more depressing.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound nice. And every time they tried to make it, like, a news thing, like a gotcha conservative news thing, it honestly was the only humanizing shit about Joe Biden was, like, he loved his son.
Yeah, like what do we? Super sad. Everyone loses and stop.
I know it's just a very cruel kind of, you know.
It's like if these motherfuckers listened to Ozzy and didn't go to war, his brother would still be alive, and Hunter wouldn't have gone down this downward spiral.
Right? It's not, you know, it reminds me of Big Red, my main man Andy Reid. Like, he lost his son, and he had a, everyone's like, oh, if you judge Andy Reid based on his sons having like a troubled, having troubled lives, like, that just makes you look bad, man. He's a loving dad. What are you talking about? Like,
Amen.
it's people that are like, I don't know, what a crazy thing to like make political points off of. You look fucking depraved.
Yeah. Anyways,
Anyway.
I got a Harvey Danger shirt at one of those alt rock radio station festivals because I found $20 on the ground when everyone was
Nice.
moshing and body surfing, and it was the cheapest shirt.
That's pretty sick. I don't really know any of their other music, but I'm gonna get into them now that I watched
Nothing
that
sounds
video.
like Flagpole Sitta.
Well, that was the point of the video, was that it was like, oh, this is the song that's like, it was like it kind of feels like a cousin to like Blur's song too, where it's like
Sort of, but
we're writing the song that's making fun of the era, you know?
yeah, but Blur's sonically sounded like a hit from the jump, and Flagpole Sitta only works because of the lyrics.
Yes, exactly. Like that's the it was a little more yeah, the Blur one is like we're doing the riff and the yell and the whatever. No,
So
yeah, this video is like, oh, and all their, you know, their teen fans would come up and be like, I pierced my tongue, and they'd be like, I don't, we're kind of making fun of how that's an empty gesture, but okay.
I'm pretty, isn't the dude, isn't the guitar, or one of the guys in the band does that podcast with Ken Jennings now?
Oh, I had no idea. That's cool.
I'm
They're
pretty
Seattle
sure it's,
guys.
yeah,
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's him, and I'm pretty sure that's the guy that got in super big trouble because he like made his kid spend 6 hours trying to open a can of beans with a can opener, something like
Wait,
that.
wait, wait, wait. Harvey Danger is Bean Dad?
I'm pretty sure. No, not the
No
singer.
fucking way.
The other guy, the other guy.
Okay. There,
I'm
yeah,
pretty
there's a,
sure.
it, that's so funny. I had
Oh,
no
I gotta
idea that
look
was
up
all big.
Bean Dad now. Jesus Christ.
That is so funny. I never really like paid attention to that just like kind of like filtered in a little bit, and I didn't really know what it was, but it was like, yeah, that's very funny that there's a, I love those weird connections that you get, what is it, the guy that created Earthworm Jim and like Mike Nelson had like a Dudes Being Dudes cigar guy podcast,
Hell yeah.
which is like such a bummer because Mike Nelson and Earthworm Jim were formative for me as a young lad. That shit was big for me. And now I'm like, oh, you guys are just like old guys. Damn it.
Yeah, hopefully they get old. That's the goal.
Yeah, but not the fun way, not the fun kind.
All right, now I'm looking up Bean Dad. Yeah,
Yeah,
John
good
Roderick.
luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a touring member of Harvey Danger. There we go.
Right on.
So I was right, sort of.
Yeah, no, he wasn't, he didn't, I don't think he was in the band when they wrote the big single.
I think you are correct. He was a touring member. Anyways, there's a double album that they put out that's really good.
Oh, I gotta go. I think I'm having that like the 40-year-old urge to go back and listen to the 90s. And I went and listened to like a lot of the discography of Toadies
Is there anything good in there?
recently.
Because Local H is on tour with them, and so I'm gonna see that show, but I can't. I never got into anything other than the single.
Okay, there's that. Listen to that record, and then the next
Okay.
record after that's pretty good too. But like the song, there's a song called was it, I Come From the Water? That's a good one. There's a song
Okay.
called Tyler that kind of like
So you're
I
telling me
would.
all of their Aqua Bay songs are worth listening to?
Yeah, listen to their water era.
Okay.
The song Tyler kind of sounds like if you wanted to listen to Where's My Mind, but we're like kind of just feeling like you didn't want to listen to the Pixies. It kind of sounds like that a little bit.
I'll do
If
that.
you had like a little bit of a grudge, you're like, I don't want to listen to the Pixies right now. I'm gonna listen to this one
Frank Black
instead.
was mean in the studio.
Exactly. Yes,
He
he
shouldn't
was
have
kind of a
faxed.
meanie.
He shouldn't have sent that fax.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if we're changing the grading scale now, Frank Black is like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's
Now
fine, man.
he's up, he's been elevated to like really nice guy.
I don't care at this point, but I never cared,
Yeah.
so we're good.
Yes, exactly.
If you do care, you're wrong. How about that? How about that? What does that mean?
Well, yeah, no, I think being judgmental about it is the way to go.
I'm going to end on that note.